Chapter 3. Leaked Long, called Long Island, which is the ordinary passage from New England to Virginia, having on both sides many harbors to anchor in, so that people make no difficulty about navigating it in winter. The country is generally covered with trees, except a few valleys and some large flats of 7 or 8 leagues and less. The trees are as in Europe, viz. Oak, hickory, chestnut, vines. The animals are also of the same species as ours, except lions and some other strange beasts, many bears, abundance of wolves which harm nobody but the small cattle, elks, and deer in abundance, foxes, beavers, otters, minks and such like. The birds which are natural to the country are turkeys like ours, swans, geese of 3 sorts, ducks, teals, cranes, herons, bitterns, 2 sorts of partridges, 4 sorts of heath fowls, grouse or pheasants. The river fish is like that of Europe, viz. Carp, sturgeon, salmon, pike, perch, roach, eel, etc. In the salt waters are found codfish, haddock, herring and so forth, also abundance of oysters and clams. 1. Connecticut, Hudson, and Delaware. The Indians are of ordinary stature, strong and broad-shouldered, olive color, light and nimble of foot, subtle of mind, of few words which they previously well consider, hypocritical, treacherous, vindictive, brave and obstinate in self-defense, in time of need right resolute to die. They seem to despise all the torments that can be inflicted on them without once uttering a sigh, go almost naked except a lap which hangs before their private parts, and on the shoulders a deerskin or a mantle, a fathom square, of woven turkey feathers or peltry sewed together. They now make great use of duffel cloths, blue or red, in consequence of the frequent visits of the Christians. In winter they make shoes of deerskins, manufactured after their fashion. Except their chiefs, they have generally but 1 wife whom they frequently change according to caprice. She must do all the work, as well corn planting as wood cutting, and whatever else is to be done. They are divided into various nations. They differ even in language, which would be altogether too long to be narrated in this short space. They dwell together in tribes, mostly of one consanguinity, over which commands a chief who is general, and is generally called Sakima, possessing not much authority and little advantage, unless in their dances and other ceremonies. They have no knowledge at all of God, no divine worship, no law, no justice. The strongest does what he pleases, and the youths are master. Their weapons are the bow and arrow, in the use of which they are wonderful adepts. They live by hunting and fishing in addition to maize which the women plant. By whom and how New Netherland was peopled. The subjects of the Lord States General had for a considerable time frequented this country solely for the purpose of the fur trade. Then, in the year 1623, the Chartered West India Company caused 4 forts to be erected in that country, 2 on the River Mauritius and 1 on each of the other rivers. The biggest stands on the point where the Mauritius River begins, and the other one mentioned heretofore, which their honors named New Amsterdam, and 6 and 30 leagues upwards another called Orange. That on the South River is called Nassau, and that on Fresh River, the Good Hope. The company has since continually maintained garrisons there. In the beginning their honors had sent a certain number of settlers thither, and at great expense, had 3 sawmills erected, which never realized any profit of consequence, on account of their great heaviness, and a great deal of money was expended for the advancement of the country, but it never began to be settled until everyone had liberty to trade with the Indians, inasmuch as up to this time no one calculated to remain there longer than the expiration of his bounden time, and therefore they did not apply themselves to agriculture. Yea, even the colony of Rensselaerwyck was of little consequence. But as soon as it was permitted, many servants, who had some money coming to them from the company, applied for their discharge, built houses and formed plantations, spread themselves far and wide, each seeking the best land, and to be nearest the Indians in order thus to trade with them easily. Others bought barks with which to trade goods at the north and at the south, and as the Lord's directors gave free passage from Holland thither, that also caused some to come. On the other hand, the English came also from both Virginia and New England. Firstly, many servants, whose time with their masters had expired, on account of the good opportunity to plant tobacco here, afterwards families and finally entire colonies, forced to quit that place both to enjoy freedom of conscience, and to escape from the insupportable government of New England, and because many more commodities were easier to be obtained here than there, so that in place of 7 farms and 2 or 3 plantations which were here, one saw 30 farms, as well cultivated and stocked with cattle as in Europe, and 100 plantations which in 2 or 3 years would have become well arranged farms. For after the tobacco was out of the ground, corn was thrown in there without plowing. In winter men were busy preparing new lands. 5 English colonies which by contract had settled under us on equal terms as the others. Each of these was in appearance not less than 100 families strong, exclusive of the colony of Rensselaerswyck which is prospering, with that of Myndert MYNDERTSZ2 and Cornelis Mellon, 3 who began first, also the village New Amsterdam around the fort, 100 families, so that there was appearance of producing supplies in a year for 14,000 souls, without straining the country, and had there been no want of laborers or farm servants twice as much could have been raised, considering that 50 lasts of rye, and 50 lasts of peas still remained over. Around the fort after a large quantity had been burnt, and destroyed by the Indians, who in a short time nearly brought this country to naught, and had well nigh destroyed this good hope, in manner following, 1 East River, apparently, 2 the colony of Hackensack, belonging to Mangert, Mangertson, Van Kieren and others, 3 Cornelis Mellon's colony embraced all Staten Island except the Rye Plantation. The causes of the New Netherland War and the sequel thereof. We have already stated that the cause of the population of New Netherland was the liberty to trade with the Indians. We shall now prove that it also is the cause of its ruin, producing 2 contrary effects, and that not without reason, as shall appear from the following. This liberty then, which in every respect should have been most gratefully received, of which use should have been made, as of a precious gift, was very soon perverted to a great abuse. For everyone thought that now the time had come to make his fortune, withdrew himself from his comrade, as if holding him suspect and the enemy of his gains, and sought communication with the Indians from whom it appeared his profit was to be derived. That created first a division of power of dangerous consequence, in opposition to their high mightinesses MOTTO1 produced altogether too much familiarity with the Indians which in a short time brought forth contempt, usually the father of hate not being satisfied with merely taking them into their houses in the customary manner, but attracting them by extraordinary attention, such as admitting them to the table, laying napkins before them, presenting wine to them, and more of that kind of thing, which they did not receive like Aesop's man, but as their due and desert, insomuch that they were not content, but began to hate when such civilities were not shewn them. To this familiarity and freedom succeeded another evil. As the cattle usually roamed through the woods without a herdsman, they frequently came into the corn of the Indians which was unfenced on all sides, committing great damage there. This led to frequent complaints on their part and finally, to revenge on the cattle without sparing even the horses, which were valuable in this country. Moreover, many of ours took the Indians into service, making use of them in their houses and thus, whilst they were being employed, laying open before those Indians our entire circumstances. And sometimes becoming weary of their work, they took leg bail, and stole much more than the amount of their wages. This freedom caused still great mischief, for the inhabitants of Rensselaerswyck, who were as many traders as persons, perceiving that the Mohawks were craving for guns, which some of them had already received from the English, paying for each as many as 20 beavers and for a pound of powder as much as 10 to 12 guilders, they came down in greater numbers than was their wont, where people were well supplied with guns, purchasing these at a fair price, thus realizing great profit. Afterwards they obtained some from their here patroon for their self-defense in time of need, as we suppose. This extraordinary gain was not kept long a secret. The traders coming from Holland soon got scent of it, and from time to time brought over great quantities, so that the Mohawks in a short time were seen with firelocks, powder and lead in proportion. 400 armed men knew how to use their advantage, especially against their enemies dwelling along the River of Canada, two against whom they have now achieved many profitable forays where, before they derived little advantage. This causes them also to be respected by the surrounding Indians even as far as the sea coast, who must generally pay them tribute, whereas, on the contrary, they were formerly obliged to contribute to these. On this account the Indians endeavored no less to procure guns, and through the familiarity which existed between them and our people, they began to solicit them for guns and powder, but as such was forbidden on pain of death, and it could not remain secret in consequence of the general conversation, they could not obtain them. This added to the previous contempt greatly augmented the hatred which stimulated them to conspire against us, beginning first by insults which they everywhere indiscreetly uttered railing at us as madariety, that is to say, the cowards, that we might indeed be something on water, but of no account on land, and that we had neither a great sachem nor chiefs. 1 Eendrick Mock Macht, union makes strength. 2 Father Joke speaks more than once of the ill effects of the Dutch practice of selling firearms to the Indians. Here 2 pages are wanting. He of Wickwashreek, living northeast of the island Manhattans, perpetrated another murderous deed in the house of an old man, one a wheelwright, with whom he was acquainted, having been in his son's service, being well received, and supplied with food. Pretending a desire to buy something, and whilst the old man was taking from the chest the cloth the Indian wanted, the latter took up an axe and cut his head off, further plundering the house, and ran away. This outrage obliged the director to demand satisfaction from the sachem, who refused it, saying that he was sorry that 20 Christians had not been murdered too, and that this Indians had only avenged the death of his uncle who, it was alleged, had been slain by the Dutch 21 years before. Whereupon all the commonalty were called together by the director to consider this affair, who all appeared, and presently 12 men delegated from among them 3 answered the propositions, and resolved at once on war, should the murderer be refused, that the attack should be made on the Indians in the autumn when they were hunting. Meanwhile an effort should be again made by kindness to obtain justice, which was accordingly several times sought for but in vain. 1 Clay Smith's Raidmaker. 2 O'Day in the original, Captain Patrick's letter 21 August 1641. I do not find this letter in print. Captain Patrick, formerly a soldier under the Prince of Orange, was one of the early members of the colony of Massachusetts Bay, but had left that colony in 1639, and settled with his Dutch wife at Greenwich. Concerning his death, at the hands of a Dutch trooper, see Winthrop, 2.153-154, in this series. 3 O'd be their answer and resolution dated the 29th August, 1641. This document, from Director Keefe's copy book, is an N.Y.Y. Colonel. Doc. I. 415. The time being come, many difficulties were alleged, and operations were postponed until the year 1642, when it was resolved to avenge the perpetrated outrage. Thereupon spies looked up the Indians who lay in their dwelling place suspecting nothing, and 80 men were detailed under the command of Ensign Hendrick Van Dyck and sent thither. to guide the income with the troops in the neighborhood of the Indian wigwams lost his way in consequence of the darkness of the night. The ensign became impatient and turned back without having accomplished anything. The journey, however, was not without effect, for the Indians who remarked by the trail made by our people in marching that they had narrowly escaped discovery, sought for peace which was granted them on condition that they should either deliver up the murderer or inflict justice themselves. This they promised, but without any result. Some weeks after this Miantanimo, Principal Sachem of Sloops Bay, one came here with 100 men, passing through all the Indian villages to soliciting them to a general war against both the English and the Dutch, three whereupon some of the neighboring Indians attempted to set our powder on fire, and to poison the director, or to enchant him by their devilry, as their ill will was afterwards made manifest as well in fact as by report. Those of Hackensack, otherwise called Actor Colonel, had with their neighbors killed an Englishman, a servant of one David Pieterson, and a few days after shot dead in an equally treacherous manner a Dutchman, who sat roofing a house in the colony of Mandert, for which was established there against the advice of the director and will of the Indians, and which by the continual damage which their cattle committed caused no little dissatisfaction to the Indians, and contributed greatly to the war. The commonalty began then to be alarmed, and not without reason, having the Indians daily in their houses. The murderers were frequently demanded, either living or dead, even with a promise of reward. They always returned a scoffing answer laughing at us. Finally, the commonalty, very much displeased with the director, upbraided him for conniving with the Indians, and declared that an attempt was making to sell Christian blood. 5a, that the will of the entire commonalty was surrendered to him, and in case he would not avenge blood they should do it themselves, be the consequences what they might. The director advised Patcham the Sachem, 6, who interested himself in this matter, warning him that we should wait no longer inasmuch as no satisfaction had been given. 1ie, of the Narragansetts. 2oc, the English Manifest, page 2. This means that now rare pamphlet, a declaration of former passages and proceedings betwixt the English and the Narragansetts, Cambridge, 1645. Published by order of the Commissioners of the United Colonies. See its text, and the particular passage here referred to, in records of Plymouth Colony, X. 50. 3OD Captain Patrick's letter dated 2 Jan, 1642. I have nowhere seen this letter. 4OD. The order in the director's letter and in the deposition thereupon. See the rise, P215, Supra. 5OF Resolve of the 12 Delegates dated 21 Jan, 1642. CN. YY Colonel. Doc. I. 414-415. 6 of the Haverstraw Indians. Meanwhile God wreaked vengeance on those of Wixchek without our knowledge through the Mahicanders dwelling below Fort Orange, who slew 17 of them, and made prisoners of many women and children. The remainder fled through a deep snow to the Christians' houses on and around the island Manhattans. They were most humanely received, being half dead of cold and hunger. They supported them for 14 days, even corn was sent to them by the director. A short time after, another panic seized the Indians which caused them to fly to divers places in the vicinity of the Dutch. This opportunity to avenge the innocent blood induced some of the 12 men to represent to the director that it was now time, whereupon they received for answer that they should put their request in writing, which was done by 3 in the name of them all, 1 by a petition, to be allowed to attack those of Hackensack in 2 divisions on the Manhattans and on Pavonia. This was granted after a protracted discussion too long to be reported here, so that the design was executed that same night. The burghers slew those who lay a small league from the fort, and the soldiers those at Pavonia, at which 2 places about 80 Indians were killed and 30 taken prisoners. Next morning before the return of the troops, a man and a woman were shot at Pavonia who had come through curiosity either to look at or plunder the dead. The soldiers had rescued a young child which the woman had in her arms. 1 OG their petition dated 24th February, 1643. N.Y. Colonel Doc. I-193. Its true date was February 22. The Christians residing on Long Island also requested by PETITION 1 to be allowed to attack and slay the Indians thereabout, which was refused, as these especially had done us no harm, and shewed us every friendship, yea, had even voluntarily killed some of the Raritans, our enemies, hereinbefore mentioned. Yet notwithstanding to some Christians attempted secretly with two wagons, to steal maize from these Indians, out of their cabins, which they perceiving endeavored to prevent, thereupon three Indians were shot dead. Two houses standing opposite the fort were in return forthwith set on fire. The director knowing not of this sent at once some persons to inquire the reason of it. The Indians showing themselves afar off, called out, ye are friends, ye are mere corn stealers, forthwith behaving as enemies. This induced one of the proprietors of the burnt houses to upbraid therewith one Baron Adriensen, who at his request had let the freemen in the attack on the Indians, and who being reinforced by an English troop had afterwards undertaken two bootless expeditions in the open field. Imagining that the director had accused him, he being one of the signers of the petition, he determined to revenge himself. Less than three with this resolution he proceeded to the director's house armed with a pistol, loaded and cocked, and a hanger by his side. Coming unawares into the director's room, he presents his pistol at him, saying, what devilish lies art thou reporting of me? But by the promptness of one of the bystanders, the shot was prevented, and he himself immediately confined. A short time after, Marines man and another entered the fort, each carrying a loaded gun and pistol. The first fired at the director, who having had notice withdrew towards his house, the balls passing into the wall alongside the door behind him. The sentinel firing immediately on him who had discharged his gun, brought him down. Shortly afterwards some of the commonalty collected before the director, riotously demanding the prisoner. They were answered that their request should be presented in order and in writing, which about 25 men did. They there asked the director to pardon the criminal. The matters were referred to them to decide conscientiously thereupon, in such wise that they immediately went forth, without hearing parties or seeing any complaints or documents. They condemned him in a fine of 500 guilders, and to remain 3 months away from the Manhattans, but on account of the importance of the affair and some considerations, it was resolved to send the criminal with his trial to Holland, which .4.10H their petition and the answer thereto, dated 27 February 1643, printed in N.Y. Colonel Doc. I. 416-417. 2 OD I contains the information thereupon. 3 OD K. His trial therefore. 4 GAP in manuscript. In this confusion mingled with great terror, passed the winter away. The season came for driving out the cattle. This obliged many to desire peace. On the other hand, the Indians, seeing also that it was time to plant maize, were not less solicitous for peace, so that after some negotiation, peace was concluded in May 1643 more, in consequence of the importunity of some, than because it was generally expected that it would be durable. The Indians kept still after this peace, associating daily with our people. Yea, even the greatest chiefs came to visit the director. Meanwhile Patcham, a crafty man, ran through all the villages urging the Indians to a general massacre. To this was added moreover, that certain Indians called Wappingers, dwelling 16 leagues up the river, with whom we never had any the least trouble, seized on a boat coming from Fort Orange wherein were only 2 men, and full 400 beavers. This great booty stimulated one others to join them, so that they seized two boats more, intending to overhaul the fourth also, from which they were driven off with the loss of six Indians. Nine Christians, including two women, were murdered in these captured barks, one woman and two children remaining prisoners. The other Indians, so soon as their maize was ripe, were likewise roused, and through semblance of selling beavers killed an old man and an old woman, leaving another man with five wounds, who however fled to the fort in a boat with a little child on his arm, who in the first outbreak had lost father and mother, and now grandfather and grandmother, being thus twice through God's merciful blessing rescued from the hands of the Indians, before it was 2 years old. Nothing was now heard but murders, most of which were committed under pretense of coming, to put the Christians on their guard. One owed them their acknowledgement made before the English 16 January, 1643, English style. Finally they took the field, and attacked the farms at Pavonia. There were here at the time two ships of war, and a privateer who saved considerable cattle and grain. Nevertheless, it was not possible to prevent the destruction of four farms on Pavonia, which were burned, not by open force, but by stealthily creeping through the brush with fire in hand, thus igniting the roofs, which are all either of reed or straw. One covered with plan was saved at that time. The commonalty were called together. They were sore distressed. They chose eight, in the stead of the previous TWELVE1. Persons to aid in consulting for the best, but the occupation every one had to take care of his own, prevented anything beneficial being adopted at that time. Nevertheless, it was resolved that as many Englishmen as were to be got in the country should be enlisted, who were indeed now proposing to depart. The third part of these were to be paid by the commonalty. This promise was made by the commonalty, but was not followed by the pay. 1 Oden Resolve of 13 Scepter 1643. N. Y. Colonel. Doc. I 194. Terror increasing all over the land, the eight men assembled. Drew one up a proposal in writing wherein they asked that delegates should be sent to the north, to our English neighbors, to request an auxiliary force of 150 men, for whose pay a bill of exchange should be given for 25,000 guilders, and that New Netherland should be so long mortgaged to the English as security for the payment thereof. One of the most influential among the eight men had by letter to enforced by precedents previously endeavored to persuade the director to this course, as they had also a few days before resolved 3 that the provisions destined for Curacao should be unloaded from the vessels, and the major portion of the men belonging to them detained, and to send the ships away thus empty. This was not yet agreed to, nor considered expedient by the director. Here four pages are wanting. An expedition was dispatched consisting of regular soldiers, under the command of the sergeant, 440 burghers under their captain Joachim Pieterson, 535 Englishmen under Lieutenant Baxter, 6 but to prevent all confusion, Councillor Law Montagne 7 was appointed general. Coming to Staten Island, they marched the whole night, finding the houses empty and abandoned by the Indian. They got 500 or 600 skeppels of corn, burning the remainder without accomplishing anything else. 1 Odo dated 6th October, 1643. 2 Ode P dated 9th March, 1643. 3 Ode Q. In their resolution 30th September, 1643. 4 Pieter Cock. 5 Joachim Pieterson Keiter, one of the 12 men, and of the 8 men. 6 George Baxter, an exile from New England, now English secretary under Kieft. The number of English colonists in New Netherland, especially on Long Island, was rapidly increasing. 7 Dr. Johannes Lamontin, a Huguenot physician, who with Kieft, constituted the council of the province. Mayen, a sachem, residing 8 leagues northeast of us, between Greenwich that lies within our jurisdiction and Stamford, one which is English, a bold Indian who alone dared to attack with bow and arrows three Christians armed with guns, one of whom he shot dead, whilst engaged with the other, was killed by the third Christian and his head brought hither. It was then known and understood for the first time that he and his Indians had done as much injury, though we never had any difference with him. Understanding further that they lay in their houses very quiet, and without suspicion on account of the neighborhood of the English, it was determined to hunt them up and attack them, and 120 men were went thither under the preceding command. The people landed at Greenwich in the evening from three yachts, marched the entire night, but could not find the Indians, either because the guide brought this about on purpose, as was believed, or because he had himself gone astray. Retreat was made to the yachts in order to depart as secretly as possible. Passing through Stamford, some Englishmen were encountered who offered to lead ours to the place where some Indians were. Thereupon four scouts were sent in divers directions to discover them, who at their return reported that the Indians had some notice of our people by the salute which the Englishmen gave us, but without any certainty, whereupon 25 of the bravest men were at once commanded to proceed thither to the nearest village. With great diligence they made the journey, killing 18 or 20 Indians, capturing an old man, two women and some children, to exchange for ours. The other troops found the huts empty, and further came hither with the yachts. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.